Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for letting me know what is important. It's so busy during the day, but I know this is where my heart is. I know when I go without this, that the longing I have for it, and I'm so glad I have that in my heart. I'm truly thankful. Thank you, God. Be with Jacqueline and I tonight, as you always are.
That was a heck of a response, all those dings. I'm here.
Holy Spirit's going, yeah.
Oh, thank you, Connie. You know, it's interesting. You mentioned the busyness and of the day, and I can tell you that when I was home this last week, it was certainly a different experience for me than than being here. You know, the just a difference in having that quiet time and space and mindset. I'm grateful for family. It was fun to be there. It was great to see everybody. But that's just what came up for me when you mentioned that in your prayer. I really saw a contrast for me, a dramatic contrast. And I drank a lot of beer.
All is well with the beer in hand.
Yeah. So anyway, it's just...
Now, Jacqueline and I had an exciting weekend. Jacqueline came in and we went to my little sister's wedding. And it was fabulous.
It was.
We all had a good time. We all played with family. We all cried and were joyful and watched Kate be joyful. It was just a real fun time. So thanks for letting us share that.
Yeah, sweet. Thank you. Okay, so, there's that scratchy noise again. I don't know what that is.
I heard it. I don't know what it is.
I don't either. Okay, well, hopefully that won't recur.
I've got, is it Timothy?
First Timothy.
Chapter 1,
yep.
15 through 17.
Yes. Yep. That's what I've got as well. Okay, good. So I'll just start there. This is page 374 of NTI. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance.
That was your phone.
Yeah, that Janet just played a word on Words with Friends. Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. There are no differences. There's only the illusion of differences. And the illusion is accepted into your own heart by your belief in individual and separate personhood. Jesus died to teach that death does not exist because existence is all that is. Therefore, Jesus taught the message of existence, which in truth is all that you are. I am teaching you this for only one purpose. The purpose is the only true purpose of the heart, which is know thyself. But one cannot know itself as itself if it persists in knowing itself as something different. Therefore, it is time to lay down who you think you are, that you may pick up once again the realization and acceptance of that which you are. Go ahead.
For years, like at the academy, there was a little confusion in my mind because they used to always seem to extol. Is that the word I want?
Probably.
Who you are, and at the same time diminish who you were. And I wasn't quite clear on that, but of course, the extolling, in other words, is that a real word?
That's a word.
Is, is for the divine self, and the diminishing is for the belief in separateness of personhood.
Yes.
And I think that's very much what's being talked about here.
Yeah, I think so. For me, this brought up a there's that fuzziness again. I don't know. Again, I don't know what that is. And but for me, this brought up something that I heard myself say to Tom in a telephone conversation last night, and then it came up again today in my journaling. And so it starts out with talking about there are no differences. And I'm telling you this, there's only the illusion of differences. And I'm telling you this for one purpose, which is the true purpose of the heart, which is know thyself. So let me explain. And I'm thinking, ooh, that would be a good talk for this month's, you know, when I lead the gathering. But let me explore it just a minute here. And that is that... you know, this whole allowance thing, this whole idea of not needing things to be different. And you know, Tom was talking about, you know, well, if you let go of the individual, you don't need things to be different. And I said, what's interesting is, and what I seem to be experiencing is that as you let go of the need for things to be different, as you come into that allowance, which for me is the same thing, just allowing everything. You know, I have a negative emotion. I don't need that to be different, right? I just allow it to be what it is. I have a negative experience or whatever, and I don't need it to be different. I just allow it to be what it is. But the point is, is that, you know, he was saying, well, as you let go of the person, that's easier to do. And my experience is, as I let go of the need for things to be different, I find that I am letting go of the person. I find that, you know, it's like cause and effect are reversed. I find that, you know, it's not that I'm letting go of differences because I'm letting go of the person. I'm letting go of the person because I'm letting go of the need for things to be different.
Yeah. And I can see that. I can really see that. Yeah. So you feel like okay, so tell me again how tell me again.
Well, you know, we've talked for a long time about letting go of the belief in an individual self,
right.
Letting go of the character, letting go of the stories, and all that. So, letting go of personhood, right? And
then you realize you don't need things to be different. The other way.
Well, and if you let go of the character, the person, the story, the individual self. You realize that, you know, if you're no longer interested in how things turn out for the character, you realize that you no longer have a need for things to be different in any given circumstance. So it seems as if this letting go of the character results in letting go of the need for things to be different. But my experience has been, as I have applied this, letting go of the need for anything to be different, my sense of personhood has been diminished. So it's
that's interesting. So that's very interesting.
Yeah, it's really, really interesting. And and then I'll just pull in one more. Hi, Kathy. One more thing that came in too was about how at one point I had to find, and I don't know if all people do or not, but I had to find, at least when I was teaching A Course in Miracles, forgiveness as knowing that all is well all the time. You know, and of Course in Miracles talks about forgiving the illusion. But if all is well all the time, there's no need for anything to be different. If there's no need for anything to be different, the individual disappears. It's just a really interesting, I think it's interesting.
Dynamic, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, and years ago, I had kind of a revelation, and I've spoke to it before, so bear with me. And that was that all, you know, there's not really much difference in the spiritual terms either. I mean, forgiveness is really the same as atonement, which is really the same as salvation, which is really the same as heaven, which is really the same as divinity or spirituality is with, you know, the words. And you know, I've talked about it before. They're on two different sides of the page, one column, two columns, and of course, you know, the illusionary column or the false or the erroneous column, and then the spiritual, the divine column, and really, I mean, just even trying to teach this at an early age and you're trying to find words, different words to say the same thing, so that they can, you can get them clear in your mind, and so that you can teach them, and they all mean the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of like Mexican food; it all kind of tastes the same.
Truth is like Mexican food.
That's right. Yeah. It's all the same.
It's all the same. Yeah. So, yeah, there are differences. There's only the illusion of differences, and the illusion is accepted into your own heart by your belief in individual and separate personhood. I'm teaching you this for only one purpose. The purpose is the only true purpose of the heart, which is know thyself. And I'm going to read that last paragraph again from 1 Timothy chapter 1. But one cannot know itself as itself if it persists in knowing itself as something different. Therefore, it is time to lay down who you think you are, that you may pick up, once again, the realization and acceptance of that which you are. Okay.
Yeah, so if it's time to lay down who you think you are, it seems to me it's calling for that empty shell that
right.
Regina keeps bringing up. Because otherwise, you would have to make assumptions about who you are. And if you can stay in the space of just not knowing and being receptive to the divine mind, then that's what that's calling
us for. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Okay, yes, we are on page. We are on page.
I am not doing that.
Do you hear that clicky stuff? I can't. Sorry, guys, I got a technical issue. Are your headphones plugged all the way in?
I think they are.
Okay. All right. Good deal. I'll quit whining and get on with it. I don't need it to be different. I'm happy with that sound. All right. We are on page 374 of the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament. We are beginning NTI 1 Timothy chapter 2. Pray for yourself, capital S, self. Pray that you may know only truth and that all blinders and distractions may be lifted, so that the pure light that you are may be all that you see. This light, which you are, extends beyond your physical sight and encompasses all that you may see, so that all that is of this light, and this light is the only truth to all that is. Rest within the light of all that is, and accept this light as yourself. Rest within the acceptance that the temporal being you seem to be is not the totality of your beingness. And so, it cannot be the truth of who you are. It is like a fragment or a thought within a universe of thought that is yet only one thought within a thought of God's. It is a speck of color on a tapestry of oneness, and so it is a part. But you, capital Y, but you are the whole. The story of personhood is the story of imagination within a mind that is one. Because it is a thought, it need not be rejected. All thought may be embraced and loved as one. You know, of course, that goes back to what we've talked about before on several occasions. Mary Read talks about it, and Jeff Foster talks about it, and it's, you know, it's not a matter of, you know, to reject anything is to reject what is appearing within consciousness. And it's actually the wish that something be different than it is. So it's not about rejecting it. It's about embracing it, but understanding that well, what comes to mind with this is that we've talked about this before, is that idea that you know, it's like, so do enlightened people get sad or angry? You know, do they experience these quote-unquote negative emotions? And somebody was talking about that, and I don't even remember now. But the answer was, yes, they recognize the emotions, but they recognize them as part of the human condition, and you know, so it's a recognition of what's already been allowed into consciousness. It's not a rejection of those things. It's just a recognition of I want to say collective experience, but that kind of breaks it down. It's a recognition that this is a part of what's appearing in consciousness. So there's no attempt to have it different. There's no attempt to be rid of it. It's more of an embrace of everything.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know whether this has anything to do with anything, but what occurs to me here is that while you embrace this stuff, you also don't hold on to it.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, it's the
because holding on to something is as big a problem as rejection.
Right. No.
what that noise is.
Oh, that noise was my phone just buzzed. I don't know why. Yeah, that's it exactly.
Which once again caused you to be that empty shell, because, and of course, ego wants to reject and wants to hold on to things. I think that's what we do. I don't want that, but I sure want this, and I'm going to hold on to this.
Well, and you know, that's what the masters have been telling us all along. It's about, you know, about grasping, or what, grasping, and what was the other thing? Well, it's, you know, essentially rejecting, but that's not the words that have traditionally been used. They're not. It's not in my mind now. But yeah, I mean, because that's what ego does. It wants to define itself at some point. Somewhere in the grand scheme of things, somewhere on the scale of emotions, or somewhere, you know, within the sea of humanity, you know, I want a specific point. That's me, that little dot right there.
Yeah, and you can certainly see how if I'm trying to define myself as a separate person, I would have to reject this personality thing and that personality thing, and then grasp onto this and really hold on to this, because this is who I am. You know, I am generous.
Yeah. And you know, I've been listening to that Jeff Foster book, and he talks about, and Byron Katie talks about the same thing. It's like if somebody says, you know, you're a liar, and we may have talked about this already, but you're a liar, and then they'll look within themselves and they'll go, can I find that anywhere in me? And of course I can find it in me, because I am consciousness, and that this is lying. Occurs within consciousness. So again, it's just about embracing it all. And I will mention that Kathy put up clinging, and that is the two things that they talk about, is clinging and avoiding. But each of those, you know, like you were saying, Connie, we want to be defined in terms of, you know, this one thing I would cling to, but not in terms of this other thing that I would avoid. But the whole point is we want to be defined.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and we think that's how we know ourselves.
Right. And then that, and the truth of that is that's just knowing a fragment.
Right, which is the whole principle behind forgiveness is knowing a fragment and extending that beyond what the fragment can hold.
Sweet. So let's read this paragraph again. Yeah, or as Kathy says, pushing the pendulum, yeah, from one side to the other. That was
Going
an
manic.
yeah, manic, really it is. And that was another thing that came up in this conversation that I had with Tom yesterday. And it was like, know, we were talking about the energy that is freed up, so to speak, when you're not when you're not looking for outcomes, when you're not when you're not needing things to be different, right?
Yeah, it takes a lot of energy to make everything go your way.
Yeah, it does. And then he said, you know, all that energy can be used for good. And I went, well, wait a minute, not really, because that is pushing the pendulum. You know, it's
Yes.
like you do free up that energy. But what you do is you allow yourself then to, you know, like the Tao Te Ching talks about, you know, that pushing the pendulum, yes, and then rest, as Kathy just said. It's a matter of resting then. It's so, you know, and you could say this, and you could talk about it in terms of removing the blocks to love's awareness, you know? I mean, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or we.
And or trying to make yourself different from somebody.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I was watching a national news, of course, and I was watching that stuff on Paul Manafort and how they're, and I'm not a big fan of the personhood, but I was watching, how a false statement on an income tax return, that's going to get him that's going to get him a lot of time for him. You think, woo, have I ever made a false statement on an income tax return? You know, and this guy's going to end up, is going to be owing lots of money and going to spend a lot of years in prison. You know?
Yeah, it makes you want to go back and amend prior year returns. But go ahead.
All for that part.
But I'm sorry. What was your point?
But I mean, it's just, I'm just saying that even some of the things that like you were saying earlier, even though some of the things that we would see as criminal, we're not so far removed from.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's all there. Did you say I'm sorry?
Yeah.
No. I think it's all part of that same thread. It's all there. None of it's to be rejected. Hey, Mom.
Hey, Mark.
All right, so let's read this. By the way, Marge, we're on page 375 of NTI. And we're going to read, I'm going to read this verses 9 and 10 again, okay? Rest within the acceptance that the temporal being you seem to be is not the totality of your beingness. And so, it cannot be the truth of who you are. It is like a fragment or a thought within a universe of thought that is yet only one thought within a thought of God's. It is a speck of color on a tapestry of oneness, and so it is a part, but you are the whole. The story of personhood is the story of imagination within a mind that is one. Because it is a thought, it need not be rejected. All thought may be embraced and loved as one. But the thought that is a speck should not be seen as the whole, for a fragment by itself is nothing. But a speck of color within the tapestry of everything is a part of the everything with which it flows. Glad you made it, Marge. She said she had trouble logging on. She's been listening on the radio.
She was a thousand swords out there in radio land.
Millions.
I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, and I got to tell you that this all reads very differently than when I have read it before, although it's I had underlined like that last paragraph that I read, the story of personhood. But it just, you know, it goes back to that thing we've talked about, you know, millions of times, with ego can, or the thinking mind can only see oneness as, you know, a bunch of people standing in a room together really, really close, you know. It just can't get the concept of oneness. So this discussion of being a thought within a universe of thought and only one thought within a thought of God's, you know, it still sounded very, very, has in the past sounded very, very separate. And the whole point of these couple of paragraphs and the idea of a tapestry is that, you know, it's absolutely, it can't be, seen as separate parts. It's a that's the whole idea of a tapestry. It's absolutely interwoven, and it's just a point of experience. It is just a point of experience for the whole that I am. But it's seeming separateness. It's seeming differences only add depth to the experience. It's not the reality of what is.
mean, like on a surface level.
I don't know how to respond to that. I guess I didn't. Well, and it says here, the thought that is a speck, meaning the thought of personhood, should not be seen as the whole. For a fragment by itself is nothing, and so that's what we tend to do is to not only see ourselves as a fragment, as that speck, but to see from the perspective of the speck instead of seeing from the perspective of wholeness, which is, which is only whole because it's. Hey everybody.
Are you sideways?
No, but you are. Hey guys, I had apparently my internet went down. Connie, your video's not on. No. Okay, I apologize for that. I know that makes extra work for Cheryl. There you are. Okay. Yeah, I apologize. So anyway, let's shall we move on to the next chapter of 1 Timothy?
Chapter 3.
Okay. This is on page 375, NTI 1 Timothy chapter 3. The overseer of all things. Uh-oh, I'm really getting a lot of fuzziness now. The overseer of all things within the world is the one eye that sees all things as they are in truth. This one overseer is within you, so that you need not subject yourself to another in order to see. You must only subject yourself unto yourself. Here's what I mean by that. Realize that the thinking mind, which analyzes and separates and make judgment and makes judgments and rejects, is a mechanical machine that is not you. It is mechanical because it is habit. And it is a machine because it was made. But it is not you because you are the maker of that which you made. Step back and look closely at this thought that I share, and you will realize it is wholly true. So again,
It kind of reminds you of what to bleep down the rabbit hole when the theologians explained for years how the essence of who we are was a machine.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
You gonna say, my darling?
I'm trying to see that. First of all, the first thing I notice is this word, the overseer, which is interesting because that was Paul Brunton, who went to India in the 40s, and first brought this stuff back to this whatever it is, truth, back to the West, referred to, my recollection is Paul Brunton referred to the one mind, the oneness we are, as the overseer. So it's interesting to just find that here. The second thing that catches my attention here is the second sentence, which says, "This one overseer is within you, so that you need not subject yourself to another in order to see." And again, it's as if, it's as if we look at this again from the ego's viewpoint, and of course, Regina has pointed out this the stages. I don't remember where that comes in NTI, but it talks about the stages of awakening, and there's a stage of seeking, a stage of purification, stage of merging, and then a stage of service is my recollection. And so this merging is the idea, and I remember that Hebrews talks about this, where it goes, oh, by the way, oh, Hebrews is a couple chapters away. I see a couple of books in here away. He goes, by the way, nobody's coming in here to save you. It is you. And I just flipped to Hebrews, and it says that there is only you, how you saw yourself and how you're coming to see yourself now. There were no prophets or angels of heaven. But it's interesting, this overseer, again, when we look at from our starting perspective, perspective of the thinking mind or the ego or the person or whatever, we're like, okay, Holy Spirit, separate entity, I turn all this over to you. You come back and you tell me how to see, and if I like it, I'll give up what I want and accept what you want, or along those lines. And the truth is, there's only you. And there's not only you, only Jacqueline, only Connie, only Kathy, only Marge, there's only one thing going on here, as Fred Davis says. But this the eyes of wholeness are is actually you. Seeing with the eyes of wholeness is actually seeing through yourself. But I think it's really interesting here that the word is within you. This one overseer is within you. And this is the idea, again, actually, that we were talking about a moment ago, where, we talk about allowing everything, accepting everything, because it's already been allowed in consciousness. You are the consciousness within which everything exists. So when you say allow it, you're not really doing anything new because it's already here, right? It's already appearing within consciousness. And so this move to analyze, to judge, to separate is a step away from allowance. It's a step away from the totality of the integrated being that we are. What we, again, because we come from that other perspective first, that ego separate mind perspective first, what we normally see is that, okay, I've got to put down the thinking mind and turn to this separate entity and have it teach me how to see like it sees. And I'm sure that buzzed again. It's just, I don't know that I don't know that I'm elucidating anything.
Yeah, and I remember at one point, explaining that, and if I'm off track here, just let me know, but that there's only two thought systems. One is the thought system of the Holy Spirit, and one is the thought system of the ego, and that's all there is to choose from. And the ego is not even a real choice, but because but it's a whole thought system, and you are that.
The
Were you going deeper than I'm going with that, or did I miss the mark? Or?
no, I don't think so at all. I mean, I think that's exactly what it's saying here. You think you're the thinking mind because that's what you're used to doing, but that's not you. You're the maker of that ego thought system. You would have to
Yes.
be the maker because everything occurs within you.
Yes. Because you are the consciousness of all that is, like you said.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we are on page 376 of NTI, 1 Timothy chapter 3. Behind the mind that you think is you, behind the analyzing and belief and drama and action, there is one who observes the you that is in play. This one can watch the drama and have thoughts about it, even as the drama seems to be in full play. This one, you know, is more at the core of who you are. But if you are the observer, can you also be the one caught up in the drama? If you are observer, the person in the drama must be an act. And if the person is an act, it is not you. Test this idea and watch it. You will see it is true. You can observe the person in act because the person in act is not you. And Regina has talked about this many times. If you can observe it, it can't be what you are. It can't be, the totality of what you are. And again, this is just going back to that same idea we were just talking about. It all appears within you. It all appears within the consciousness that you are. So you can pretend to be the person or the separate thread in the tapestry. But it's pretend. And so when you were talking about there being only two thought systems, the ego or the Holy Spirit, as you said, there's, as Brad Davis says, there's really only one thing going on here. That whole thought system is pretend, made up, and what awakening is, what purification is letting go of the belief in the thought system as an alternative.
Yes, there's no real choice.
There's no real choice.
Yeah, and I'm sure you've heard it too, and I think this has relevance to what we're saying, that some people have said, that God wanted to observe himself, so he had to create and other to have something to observe. So it would not be his, it would be a step removed from the truth of what he is.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's certainly one way of putting it. Yeah, and that's what I was talking about a while ago when I was talking about, you know, just enjoying the richness of the tapestry without believing that you're the single thread in the tapestry or the speck on the tapestry. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Very cool.
Okay. Okay, test this idea and watch it. You will see it is true. You can observe the person in act because the person in act is not you. In the same way, observe other persons in act, remembering the act is not reality.
That's very cool, too.
Yeah. Step back even as you seem to act, and you will see that the acting is in action. But the acting does not define you. You are beyond the acting. In this thought, you begin to grasp you.
That's a speck in the tapestry, isn't it?
Yeah, and you'll notice that the tapestry moves as a whole, right? The speck doesn't run around and go to different spots on the tapestry, right?
Yeah.
So the movement is just movement happening. That's another thing.
Yeah, the red dot is not going zigzag on the page.
Right, it's where it is, right? But it's
right.
The tapestry moves as a whole. And this is the idea of, you know, there's nothing really going on here. This is the idea that teaching happens, you know. I'm not the teacher, you know. Doing the books happens. I'm not the book doer, right? And it seems to be, you know, it's like we were, Kathy is asking the creative principle, and let me try and give some context to this if I can without stumbling around too much. You know, I was hearing Barry talk about, she said, you know, really thought, it doesn't require thought to make things happen. It's not like you actually have to plan. You know, people go, well, gosh, if I'm the empty shell, if I give up the thinking mind, how am I going to get around in the world? How do I get a plane ticket? How do I da 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 da? And it's becoming more and more my experience. And her point was that, you know, these things happen, and you just happen to be present when they happen. And it just seems as if you are doing the things because other things to happen. But the truth is, just like the people in the play are acting, the acts are made up too. You didn't set this thing in motion. You're just moving as it moves. Again, like that spot not flying around on the tapestry, so that, you know, plane reservations get made, teaching happens, and I am experiencing that. And any onlooker would go, well, you picked up the phone and made the plane reservations. Tell me you didn't do that, right? But the truth is, gosh, it's just really hard to articulate. The truth is, these things are happening, and I seem to be participating in them. But it's all just like a very interactive, simulated video game. you are beyond the acting, right? Even as you seem to act, you will see that the acting is in action, but the acting does not define you. So, even in that, I'm the one who picked up the phone and made the plane reservation. No, there was a phone, there are planes, there's a reservation. But it's not, it's just a shift in perspective to see that things are occurring. And ego wants to go to hell with that. Do you know how hard I worked on making those reservations?
Yeah, you know how I screwed that reservation up.
Right, but you can see that again, it's the ego's attempt to pinpoint its place on some spectrum or its place on the tapestry. A Course in Miracles talks about there being no cause and effect. And it feels like this is all coming out a little bit garbled, so I apologize for that. Maybe we'll have to come back
No,
to
I think it's a very interesting point you make, but and it's kind of like people talking about thoughts, and a thought drops in. Is that my thought, or is that a thought? Is that just a thought? And I want to, as a because I'm always trying to establish an identity, I make it my thought.
And as Paul Hederman told us, once you claim the thought as yours, it presupposes the thinker. That
Yes.
creates the I.
Yes. Right. Yes. Like I was saying, because we're always seeking an identity in everything we think, do, and say.
In everything, even
Yes.
even things that don't seem like it. Hey, I'm just cooking dinner. I'm just making plane reservations, right?
Yeah. Cooking dinner. This is the best I can do. I'm cooking dinner. I'm a gourmet.
Well, I'm going to read these last two paragraphs. We got to like a minute, so let me finish up this, and if we need to look at this more next time, we will. You are beyond the acting. In this thought, you begin to grasp you. Manage yourself well by being the observer in peace. Have faith that all that you observe and that which you see is but a stepping stone in the pool of all that is and all that you are. All that you are is beyond the observer, but the observer is a step in the right direction. For as observer, you begin to surrender the concept of personhood by accepting you can observe the person, so the person must not be all that you are. So, there you go.
Thank you, Jacqueline.
Thank you, Connie. Thanks all you guys for letting us come back and do this again and again and again.
We'll keep trying until we get it right.
That's right. That's right. We love you, and we will see you next time.